At 12 years old, Maddie DeGray volunteered for the Pfizer vaccine trial.
Why is she not back to normal? She was totally fine before this. She did the right thing trying to help everybody else, and they're not helping her.
The Cincinnati family joined Senator Ron Johnson for people sharing their stories after getting a COVID-19 vaccine.
I have tremors in my hands, which has made me leery if I'll ever be able to practice as a hygienist again.
We are the collateral damage of the pandemic.
Okay, so Sandy Rios here. Well, as you might guess, those were victims of the COVID vaccine. There are so many injuries that have been reported through the years. Think of all those young men who died, you know, on the football field or running track and field, who just dropped dead from myocarditis. Think of all the seniors who died even right after they had the vaccine. You know, I would imagine that probably if I could, we could be in a big room together, and I whole how I wish we could do that. Each of you knows someone who had an adverse reaction. I'd be surprised if you don't. And so we know instinctively, because of our own experience, that something's really been wrong with that vaccine. The main leader in our government is Senator Ron Johnson on this issue. He has held panel after panel and gotten so much ridicule for that. And first, you know, he's such a serious person and such a brilliant guy. You know, you wonder how they could ever mock him. But he's unfazed. He's a Christian, by the way. And he's just unfazed. He just stands steadfast. And so he's just come out with a brand new study, because they've discovered that not only did the government force these COVID shots on us, they knew about the damage it was doing. It's a shocking story. It's an upsetting story. And we're going to talk about that today. Plus, a right-hand man for Dr. Fauci has been indicted by the Justice Department for his misdeeds. And hopefully that's just the beginning, but I can't say that it isn't for sure. But we're going to talk about that today. It's kind of like, it's like, it reminds me of Cambodia. And you've heard me say through the years, I think, that I was there doing interviews. It was in the late 90s. And the Khmer Rouge were the communist Cambodians. And they were so brutal on their own people. They would kill them and throw them into pits and beat them with shovels. And they killed millions of their people. There's a whole movie called The Killing Fields about that. But the persons that I talked to in Cambodia, the Cambodians, more than one told me that there had never been a resolution. No punishment had ever been given. And that you could actually live next door to someone who killed your family and was never punished for that. It reminds me of this. It looks as though at the hands of people, these are my words, at the top of our government, who pushed a vaccine that was not tested and actually knew in the early stages that it was harming people, deaths, injuries, strokes, all kinds of things, worked to cover it up. That's what they did. So we're going to talk about that today, because you need to know that. Well, this is Sandy Rios, and you're listening to Sandy Rios 24/7. And you know, this Sunday is Mother's Day. And Mother's Day is one of the most beautiful moments of the year to share life-changing news. Maybe you've seen it, a family gathered around the table where someone stands up and says, "Next year there will be a brand new mom in our family." There's nothing like that. But for some women, Mother's Day feels very different. Instead of celebrating, they're carrying a secret, afraid, unsure, and alone. And that's why preborn exists. Because when a woman sees her baby on an ultrasound and hears that tiny heartbeat, it doubles the chance that she will choose life. This May, you can be the reason a scared young woman becomes a confident mom. Just $28 provides one ultrasound, and that's less than a dollar a day. Preborn empowers women to be moms. And it's only the beginning, because that moment leads to real support, maternity care, baby clothes, diapers, counseling, and so much more. And that is what we do together when we provide ultrasounds. To get involved, just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy, and make your most generous donation. Well, today we have the privilege of a long conversation with Senator Ron Johnson. Probably one of the nation's, even though he's not a doctor, one of the nation's leading experts on the whole COVID fiasco. I'll call it that because I think it was. And we'll talk to him on this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
Former senior official at the National Institutes of Health has been indicted for allegedly concealing federal records during the COVID-19 pandemic. The Justice Department recently unsealing that indictment, charging David Morans with 5 felony counts. The National News Desk, Jeff Harris, joins us, and those counts include conspiracy charges, destruction or falsification of records, plus a kickback scheme. Tell us more.
So the accusations against Morans in large part have to do with his email, specifically moving government conversations related to the COVID-19 pandemic to his private Gmail account to avoid public disclosure, plus skirt the Freedom of Information Act from those seeking answers about gain-of-function research.
All right, that's, finally, after all of these years, some kind of justification for our concerns about COVID in the past, and really finally someone, at least someone, brought to justice the beginnings of it. And the reason that most of us have understood and been actually, justified in our concerns about COVID was the work of my next guest. Senator Ron Johnson is the chairman of the Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations. He's from Wisconsin. He won't remember this, but I've known Senator Johnson for a long time because I was on radio in Chicago when he was running in 2010. I remember working very hard since we were close to Milwaukee. A lot of us behind the scenes were working to help him get elected. And boy, am I glad we did that. He was a chief executive officer for plastics manufacturing company in Oshkosh, a very successful businessman who doesn't need the hassle he's had in the Senate. And with that, I want to just say good morning, Senator Johnson.
Morning, Sandy. So I can blame you for this predicament I'm in here, huh? appreciate your help and support. But let me start by saying, I've got to give a huge shout out to my staff of the Permanent Subcommittee Investigation. The only reason that David Morans is now indicted is because my staff are just dogged in their pursuit in these investigations. We were getting nothing from the Biden administration. I mean, I wrote, I think, over 60 oversight letters during COVID asking for specific information, too. I don't ask for everything in the kitchen sink. I really look for targeted information. We got nothing from the Biden administration, but we got information from some of their grantees, some of these universities. And the email that started that really is responsible for the indictment of David Morans, my staff pulled out of that needle out of a haystack. Is a 115,000-page production from one of those university grantees. The email that David Morans famously talked about, he had a FOIA lady, showed him how to make emails disappear. And if you had sensitive information, sent to the Gmail account. So we, when we discovered that, we turned that over to the Inspector General of HHS under Biden. He did nothing. It wasn't until Trump got in, fixed that Officer Inspector General that Trump's Inspector General took it seriously, and the indictment followed.
If you were to explain, and you do, I mean, I was trying to make it, I'm hoping to make it easier for you this morning. There's so much information, and you are a walking encyclopedia, but you repeat these things in so many interviews. But I think, in a nutshell, what is it that David Morans did that is so egregious?
Well, again, we have a Federal Records Act, and when you're working for the government, all of your work is a government work product, and it should all be conducted on government servers. So when you're sending emails on government business, it should be using the government email accounts, not your own private service. So again, and you should never destroy a government document. So it's, you know, kind of twofold. He's not following the law in conducting government business on government email systems, and he's probably destroying records, too. And by the way, in our most recent report in terms of the masking issue, we're seeing similar evidence of people, okay, this is pretty sensitive, probably shouldn't be putting this into email form, let's talk offline. So this is pretty much endemic, starting with Hillary Clinton, remember?
You know, yes, I do.
She used her private server. She never paid a price because James Comey, you know, wrote the exoneration memo, turned grossly negligent into extremely careless, so it didn't fit the exact definition of the federal statute here. But, again, I think this is pretty commonplace. People know about the Freedom of Information Act, and they know if they're doing something that wouldn't look good to the public, they're not going to put it in writing. They're certainly not going to use their government to emails. Now, the good news is even when you use Gmail, it's kind of hard to make communications disappear. As I said, David Morin's, we didn't get that from his email account. We didn't get that from government servers. We got that from one of the addressees, you know, somebody he sent it to in the university. That he was telling them, don't send me sensitive information to my government account, send it to my Gmail.
Well, you know, this is one thing, and I know you'll understand this because you're still, even though you have served in D.C. for a long time, I just know that you have a sensitivity to what regular people are thinking and still very much in tune like with your constituents in Wisconsin. So you know that when people, average people that haven't worked for the government hear this, and when they heard it about Hillary, oh, well, she was using a private server, a different email thing. In the government, you understand why that's bad. But to make a point here, what was missing, I think, in making a deeper point to the public for Hillary Clinton was that she was exchanging information, and her email was hacked by foreign enemies. I believe China and Russia, we have proof of that now. And she was conducting business that she shouldn't have been conducting. So the question about David Morin's is the content. What was he trying to hide?
Well, again, you know, and Hillary Clinton was emailing classified documents as well. So
right.
We don't have all that information in terms of exactly what he was trying to hide. That's the Justice Department. The FBI have far better and, you know, a much larger volume of investigators to dig into this. I mean, I've got like 5 or 6 permanent staff. I mean, we're trying to keep our head above water in terms of the target-rich environment of what we're investigating. So, I mean, the real criminal investigation will be, you know, undertaken by the Inspector General's office, by the FBI, by the Department of Justice. So I don't know. I think we suspect, you know, all these guys, you know, particularly anybody close to Fauci. We know how he was covering up his involvement, his funding of Peter Daszak, Eco Health Alliance, Ralph Barrick. Again, to me, this is very obvious. I've never been overly interested in investigating that because it was obvious to me very early on this had to be man-made. This is they would have probably destroyed the documents. You're probably not going to be able to find smoking gun evidence, not after so many years. So I've kind of let Rand Paul and others do that investigation. And again, I'm glad now that the FBI, the Department of Justice, has indicted David Morin's. But to me, the most important story about David Morin's is how the news media is covering that, and they're completely ignoring what is a far, I mean, orders of magnitude larger story. And that's the bombshell revelation that we issued in our preliminary report in my hearing last week. I mean, the cover-up of the safety signals of the COVID injection is way more important. And, for example, I was scheduled to go on CNN yesterday afternoon, and when I emailed my report and indicated that I'd like to talk about this report, they canceled the interview.
Are you kidding? Oh, no. My gosh. Well, you know what?
Well, we wanted to go in a different direction. Oh, we just wanted to talk about Iran. I could have talked about Iran as well, but you know, give me a little timing. This is a bombshell revelation that I hope we're going to spend a fair amount of time talking about. Again, I'm interested in David Morin's. I want to see him brought to justice. I want to see what we actually know about the COVID origins, although I'm quite sure what happened there. I see the corruption. I see the grants being done. to me, the revelation is what we have now uncovered, that on March 1st of 2021, this is less than 3 months after the COVID injections started being administered, got the emergency use authorization, Peter Marks, who's head of CBER, the Center for Biologic Evaluation and Research, this is the group within FDA that is responsible for vaccine approval and vaccine safety surveillance, the VAERS system, okay? You know, that's CDC, but it's jointly looked at by FDA.
Yes.
On March 1st, he received a briefing by FDA's prime data mining specialist, Dr. Anna Sharfman, who's working with the inventor of the algorithm that analyzed FAIR data. And he was briefed in a multi-page briefing that the current algorithm was going to mask, was going to hide safety signals, because he had two very similar injections, Pfizer and Moderna, and the way they were analyzing them, it was going to mask, because if both of these shots were equally dangerous, they're going to come out as equally safe. Okay, so it's just going to mask the safety signals, the adverse events. So Peter Marks was aware of this on March 1st. 26 days later, using a state-of-the-art algorithm that unmasked the safety signals, top FDA officials were shown 49 cases of extreme masking, 25 safety signals on very serious adverse events. For example, sudden cardiac death, pulmonary infarction, Bell's palsy, different types of strokes. So they were shown this. They continue to be updated and shown month after month after month, to the point where they told Dr. Sharfman to cease and desist. We didn't ask for this data. We don't want to see this data. Stop. In an interview with Dr. Sharfman, she said she was considered a pest, persona non grata. So then you had all these officials running out there saying, well, the vaccine is safe and effective. We don't see safety signals. They were shown safety signals. They were shown this. And by the way, I have to add, I didn't need a sophisticated algorithm to know that safety signals were screaming at all of us.
Yes.
I mean, one of the charts I used in our hearing, you see the number of deaths associated with vaccines on VAERS from 1990 forward. And on average, there's a couple hundred deaths, you know, anaphylactic shock, that type of thing. 2021, we had 21,000 deaths reported on VAERS.
Wow.
And people say, well, that's because we had billions of doses. Okay, let's look at deaths per million doses. For the flu, on average, it's about 0.46 deaths per million doses. So not even a death per million dose. For the COVID injection, it's 25.5 deaths per million doses. That's a 55-fold increase over what we experienced with flu vaccines. And our FDA officials are saying, we're just not seeing safety signals. And I know I'm filibustering, but let me make one final point. In March of 2021, NIH, or the HHS, was actually diagnosing and treating people with COVID injection injuries. Mm-hmm. In total, they treated about 23 individuals. They told them, remain silent. Don't tell anybody about this treatment, because we want to complete our study, then we'll publish it, then we'll acknowledge the vaccine, the injection injuries, so that doctors can start treating these people with as best treatment protocols we've got. So, of course, the people who were being somewhat successfully treated, they weren't being cured, but they were seeing relief in their symptoms, they obviously stayed quiet. They wanted NIH to continue to treat them, and they certainly wanted NIH to publish the study so that other injection injured individuals could get treatment, because nobody was getting treatment because the federal health officials weren't acknowledging injection injuries. So the medical establishment were telling these people who were disabled, oh, it's on your head, or, you know, this, you know, paralysis happens, you know, sudden death happens. I mean, we saw the athletes falling dead on the field, collapsing on the field. Newscasters, we came up with a whole new term for it, sudden adult death syndrome. And NIH officials, you know, FDA, they were baffled. What could possibly be happening in 2021? Well, the public knew it. You know, I knew it. They're still not acknowledging today. And now I'll shut up and.
No, I know. Well, listen, you're the expert. You've made yourself an expert. I mean, really, I want to emphasize, if even half of the Senate, of the senators in the Senate, would be serious about the responsibility that they have, just as you take it seriously, just think where this country would be. And you are just a lone man. And I know a few, there are some other good ones, but very few, very few. And this is just amazing what you have taken on, and also a great risk and criticism to yourself for all of these years. But, you know, the fact is you have given courage and encouragement to millions of people. And isn't it interesting, Senator Johnson, in spite of the denials, and by the way, I looked up this morning, you know, on AI, because they know everything. They're still denying. I'll read a couple of phrases in a minute, but they are still denying it. As you know, if there's any problem whatsoever with the COVID vaccine. And so you have managed to penetrate that wall of denial so effectively that most Americans, in spite of the press, in spite of ABC and NBC, and in spite of, you know, AI, know better. They know better, and that is because of you. But you went. You talked about.
You know, Sandy. It's also because they saw it with their own eyes.
I mean, true.
We have a Rasmussen study, a poll that shows that almost a quarter of Americans believe they know somebody who died from the COVID injection. You know, around half believe that the COVID injection caused serious adverse events. It's because they saw it in their families. I mean, I saw it. I've got staff members. I've got family members got COVID injection. I have one individual who I love dearly who, you know, the family will never admit that the COVID injection killed that individual, but I certainly suspect it. We all saw it. So, yeah, I appreciate you giving me some credit for this. And there are some very, you know, very few doctors who are willing to speak out as well. So we've made some progress, but basically people believed what they saw with their own eyes. I mean, they saw these athletes fall in the field, and they were always wondering, why isn't the news media asking, when did that guy get vaccinated? When that person get vaccinated, the news media would never ask it. You know, children falling dead in their sleep, they would never ask the question. Well, did they just get a COVID injection? It wasn't allowed. That line of inquiry wasn't allowed in the mainstream media, which has been thoroughly captured by Big Pharma.
Oh, absolutely. And the hospitals, God, that's a whole other story, are still doubling down. They are still. I go to Mayo Clinic. We have been for many years, my husband and I, up in Rochester. And now we've moved down to Florida because we're here, and they have one here in Jacksonville. But they're still, like, gritting their teeth, and they'll be damned if they will admit anything that you're reporting. I suppose that's because of the risk of lawsuits, right?
Sure. They can't afford to admit or be proven wrong right now. I mean, just basic human tendencies. If you suggested something to somebody, hey, drink this. If they drink it and they die, that probably wasn't a very good suggestion. You know, I shouldn't have pushed that at them. And, of course, our federal health officials, the medical establishment, doctors, members of Congress, most members of Congress were pushing the injection hard on their constituents.
Yes, they were.
Let's end this pandemic, right? Get injected. So nobody wants to admit they're wrong.
You know what? Actually, when I go back in time on this, I just get sick at my stomach. When I think about all the things that happened, I remember for some reason, and I'll just attribute God with this, there was something off about this from the very beginning to me. Something off. Something's not right here. And I was on the radio, you know, and I didn't want to, I felt it would be very, very wrong for me to tell people not to get the vaccination when I only had a hunch. But later, I just became very bold about it after we learned more. But I remember my neighbors, my husband and I were leaving to go to something, and they ran out to the car and they said, oh, we're getting our vaccination this afternoon. We're getting it. You know, they're so excited. This was the atmosphere that was created. It was like a circus. It was a big deal. And also the weird thing about people saying they had COVID like it was, I had COVID. I don't know if you experienced that. But we did. It was like a badge of honor to get COVID. It was like bragging rights. Even if your family member was really sick, it was a strange boasting right. I don't know. It did something so weird to people, Senator Johnson. And I just, I don't know if you noticed any of that.
Oh, no. Listen, fortunately, because of my advocacy for early treatment, people were reaching out to me. I very early had contact with Dr. Michael Eden, who for 30 years worked for Pfizer, vice president of research. His background is in toxicology. He was beside himself when he heard what his colleagues were cooking up here and what they were going to start injecting into people. So, Senator, there are a long list of things we don't put in injectables because they're toxic to the body. And here, Pfizer, my former colleagues are creating something that's going to turn the body cells into manufacturing sites for something that's toxic to the body. He couldn't believe it. He simply couldn't believe it. So, early on, this was before the injections got EUA, I knew I wasn't going to get it. But like you, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical researcher. So I couldn't go against what all these experts were saying. I mean, who am I?
Exactly.
Now, what I could do and what I did do is I was very early on carefully monitoring Vayers. And I remember in April of 2021, we had a meeting with a bunch of Republican senators and Francis Collins, and they were all patting themselves in the back. Hey, we got those testing kits, and yeah, we got the vaccine out there. And I'm the, I'll say turn the punch bowl, okay? I'm the one that asked Francis Collins, well, doctor, are you watching Vayers? I mean, at that time, I think there were 2,900 deaths reported on Vayers. 46% were occurring on the day of vaccination or within 1 or 2 days. So I raised this issue, and he goes, well, Senator, we've acknowledged 6 deaths attributed to the J&J in young women of childbearing age, okay? But, Senator, let's face it, people die. That was his response.
Oh,
people die.
Gosh.
So don't pay attention now to the 39,000 people reported worldwide to Vayers dying in association with COVID injection. 39,000, by the way, 24% of those to date. Again, it's 46% early on because we were administering it to old people who were frailer and couldn't tolerate the assault of the COVID injection. Now it's 24% of the 39,000 that died on the day of vaccination within 1 or 2 days. And Sandy, we know from a CDC commissioned study at Harvard called the Pilgrim Study, when they were looking at what can we do to improve Vayers, less than 1% of vaccine injuries, adverse events are reported to Vayers. Less than 1%. Now, I think probably more COVID injections were because people just knew about it. But if it's only 1%, take the 39,000, multiply that to 3.9 million. There's your range, okay? And to this day, the people, the health agencies, big pharma, they're all in a state of denial because nobody wants to admit they were wrong. Just the basic human tendency, lawsuits, liabilities, all those types of things. And that's what we're up against. And by the way, people that took it, people who got the jab, about 70% of Americans, they would rather not think about it, quite honestly. I'm kind of forcing this on them.
I know that's true. Because it upsets them, and they think about their children and their grandchildren and people that, they think of the implications and they can't stand it. But I go back to, like, Francis Collins and the others weren't just wrong. They knew it hadn't been tested properly. They saw, as the point of your study, is that they, at least on some level, understood completely that people were dying, getting injured, and they refused to report it early on. And so I don't give them a pass at all that they, were wrong for a while. And I just think they intentionally threw out the so-called science.
Oh, no, this is evil. Okay, no, I'm not giving these people a pass. This is evil, what they did. It was, again, it was obvious to lay people like yourself and I, like you and like us, okay? It was obvious to us. And they had their excuse. They had their algorithm that they were warned within 3 months was going to hide the signal, so they could hide behind that algorithm, and then they could say, and trust me, if this goes further, they will point to that algorithm and say we just weren't seeing safety. Yeah, we wanted to be consistent. We didn't want to change algorithms in the middle of this analysis. We wanted to be consistent. So So they'll point to that algorithm and say, we weren't seeing safety signals.
Yeah.
What they won't admit to is, yeah, but you were warned it was going to hide them. And then you saw data set after data set with a, state-of-the-art algorithm that was showing you safety signals. And you didn't respond to it. So, you can say you didn't see them if somebody put it right under your nose and you closed your eyes. I guess you can say, well, I didn't see it. Well, I know it's because you closed your eyes. You purposely decided willful ignorance. That's what. But again, they weren't ignorant. They knew it.
Month
after month after month, Dr. Shorson was warning them, showing them new data sets, new safety signals on sudden death. And they just chose to ignore her. That is evil. Again, as they were treating the injection injured, promising them that they would make their study available so that their support members in their support group could also be treated, never published the study. And here's another bit of evil. Facebook was shutting down the injection injured support groups.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Misinformation.
Ernie, conversations.
Suicides because people no longer had that support within those Facebook groups.
Yeah. Well, and even you were censored on Facebook if you said anything negative about it. And Google did a great job of censoring anything negative about it. It's still hard to find something if you Google vaccine injury on, they still hide it. It's sick. And of course, in Europe, I don't know exactly, but I know that they have so much censorship that they don't know hardly half of what we know. But I want to read something from your report on your Senate website. This has to do with your recent study. In a letter, Chairman Johnson described how as early as November 2022, vaccine safety surveillance systems run by Biden health officials began detecting statistically significant safety signals for ischemic strokes among individuals age 65 and older following the receipt of the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 bivalent, whatever that's called, booster, rather than immediately issued a formal warning to the public. Documents show that in December 2022, the Biden White House and HHS pushed to increase uptake of the booster for people 65 years and older. I don't even know what to say. So they made it worse.
Sandy, first of all, understand, that's a safety signal popping through the algorithm that masks safety signals. Okay, so that's how serious that safety signal was. This is the one that was masking them. So this is November 2022. They've known for a year and a half that the algorithm they have is going to mask safety signals. They know that a state-of-the-art algorithm is showing all kinds of safety signals. And so November 22, when they see week after week a safety signal in from the algorithm that mass safety signals, they still hit it. They when they publish something, they change the wording from moderate safety signal to slight. Now, again, if they use the up-to-date algorithm, that safety signal wouldn't have been moderate. It probably have been screaming at them because it was strong enough to pop through the algorithm that masked and hid them. So, again, if you really think about this, you start understanding the evil, the fraud that these federal officials, the people who are charged, who told us, oh, VAERS is great. It can detect the slightest little safety signal. We're going to be watching it. We're going to be bird-dogging that. You lose a day of work, CDC officials are going to be talking to you to find out why. All that was lie. It was a total BS. And now we have proof. Again, I was honest. How could they be missing what I'm seeing without being a medical researcher or doctor or these fancy algorithms? These safety signals are screaming at me. How could they miss it? Well, now we know. They purposefully decided not to look at what was being shown them.
You know, one thing that occurs to me, you said a few minutes ago that Francis Collins said to you, well, people die, or something to that effect. I think I imitated him pretty well, too. People die. But from just the cursory glance of this, as I just read from your report, they actually increased the uptake of the booster for people 65 years or older. That is an intentional way to cause people older to die. And so, you know, there's like a mindset. I'm going on a tangent here. I don't know if you saw that article recently about that priest in Canada who had two heart attacks and he was in the hospital, or two strokes, something like that. This happened just this past week. He was in hospital in Canada and he started speaking out because they were trying to talk him into killing himself. That MAID program that they have. The doctor suggested it. That means, you know, killing yourself because, you know, he was like 70. And the mindset, I'm sorry, I believe this mindset is the same, where life has no value, and especially elderly life. And I'm not sure any life has value to them except their own life. But isn't that an interesting correlation?
Well, that's certainly how the left will reduce healthcare costs. But don't treat people. You know, suggest when you're getting too old there and you got something that's going to cost a lot to treat, just end your life. No, it's literally sick. And it's very sick what our federal health officials did. You know, quite honestly, with all these vaccines, I mean, a great book for your listeners, if you haven't read it, Aaron's series, Vaccines Amen. It literally, you know, there are great other books, Dissolving Illusions, Turtles All the Way Down, Peter McCulloch's book, Vaccines, Mythology, Ideology, Reality. But Aaron's series books, written by a lawyer who deposes these people, that needs to know his facts. He can't rest on his degree, right? He's just brought it all together and just laid out the facts on their irrefutable facts on vaccines. And if you read that, your mind will be changed. But you should read it. But the main point is vaccinology has become a religion. And listen, I understand it. I understand the appeal. I mean, I got all the vaccines until I became educated on it. But I mean, if you just have a shot to prevent you from having a deadly disease, yeah, you know, sign me up. Everybody wants to believe that. But it dates back to the smallpox vaccine in England and New England and stuff. Probably caused more smallpox than to save people's lives. Again, that's an opinion. One thing, by the way, just expanding this, Aaron Seary in his book does talk about a Japanese study. If you actually contracted measles, you have a much lower rate of cardiovascular disease later on. So we're not taking into account our God-given immune system and how marvelous it is. So it blows me away that the vaccinologists, you know, the people who are all pro-vaccine, just deny the fact that maybe, just maybe, all these vaccines might negatively impact your immune system, right? They just, you know, obviously a vaccine impacts your immune system. It's designed to do that. Why would you have such hubris to believe that, you know, because something you've designed is only going to have a positive impact, as opposed to, well, what's going to happen if nobody ever gets chickenpox again and we're not protected? And vaccines are imperfect protection. You'd much rather get an illness and have your body's immune system recognize the full pathogen. That's why I was talking about the coronavirus. The coronavirus injection only recognized the spike protein. So as they continue to evolve, okay, and mutate, and a lot of people say that because we were vaccinating in the midst of a pandemic, we were actually driving mutations that would evade the vaccines, the injections. Again, that's an open question. Nobody knows for sure. But, you know, natural immunity, which was poo-pooed, I got vilified by saying, no, I'm not going to get the shot because I've already had COVID. I probably got better immunity to it than the injection. I just got slaughtered in the media for saying that. But it was true. Well, my natural infection, you know, my antibodies now recognize the full coronavirus. So as it mutates, it's going to recognize other parts of that virus versus just the one specific spike protein.
Well, that's been a scientific understanding for generations, that your natural immunity is better than anything else. And the press is just stupid. You know that. They just don't really. I hate to say, I'm not really making a joke. They really are ignorant. But the doctors are not ignorant. And so when you talk about vaccinations, and if, I want to ask you, if you think Dr. Fauci has only like a few more days to be charges to be brought against him, as I understand it. It's like it's coming right up in maybe a week. Is anything going to happen, you think?
Well, by the way, speak of the devil. Fauci was out there saying, well, we just don't know that natural immunity is going to work. That's why you got to get this jab. I mean, he knew natural immunity would be better, okay? Again, that is known. Now, unfortunately, Biden issued him a pardon on federal charges. I have not heard any states that are really rising the challenge of trying to indict him for something. So I think the most we can do in terms of Fauci accountability is expose the evil that he participated in, the funding of gain-of-function research that just is, almost certain to create pathogens that otherwise nature wouldn't create. I mean, it's insane what we're doing. And again, all for the purpose of creating a vaccine to prevent it. Again, it's the religion of vaccinology. We need, and that's, of course, what Fauci always wanted with AIDS. He's going to create a vaccine. They still haven't created a vaccine.
Oh, the truth is...
Because it's hard to do. It's probably impossible to do.
Yeah, he killed a lot of people in the process. That's a part of his story that most people don't know. But I just think, you would think this would be a great chance to bring a lawsuit against him and then test that whole notion of giving preemptive pardons for no one convicted of a crime, or even, he's nowhere near having an indictment or anything. I don't know how a president can actually do a preemptive pardon like that. So that'd be a good test in the courts. But I've often thought, Senator, that this is so vast. We have hospital administrators. All of the times they put the mask of the intubating people, and really that's actually what killed them. No time to explain that, but you know what I'm talking about. They were supposedly trying to save their lives, but they actually killed them. And in time, they knew that. And this is a worldwide situation. And so it makes me think that the only way to really sort this out would be, no one's ever going to do this, I tell you, but a Nuremberg trial is what we need. Some massive reckoning for the world of those people that perpetrated this lie and caused the deaths of heaven knows how many million people. It's a horrible situation. And the thing is not, we haven't killed it. Dracula is not, there's been no stake in his heart because it's still living. And like AI, it's still living in the press. And I don't know how we're going to kill this thing. I really don't.
Well, I agree. We need a COVID reckoning. Going back to Fauci, remember, he's the one that all of a sudden said that remdesivir was going to be the standard of care, even though the WHO recommended against its use because in trials on Ebola, it killed people, that combination killed people faster. Nurses in hospitals, who are probably the best source of information because they're not given the orders that they regret, they called remdesivir run, death is near. Sorry, your kidneys. Okay, so, but in terms of saying that's what I've been trying to do, the reason the mainstream, the legacy, the corporate media is not covering the story is they don't want that reckoning. I mean, so I've been here holding what I think are excellent hearings. Our first hearing was on how they hid the signal on myocarditis. Then we had a hearing on voices of the vaccine injured to give these parents an opportunity to talk about this is what they've experienced, okay? The reaction of the media is dead silence. They're just not covering it. So it's kind of hard to have a reckoning when, the few people who are willing to lay out the truth, expose the truth, they kind of stop ridiculing me. Instead, they just don't cover what I'm doing. But they're going to have a hard time. I'm relentless. I'm not going to give up on this. And like I said, this is just an initial report. How Biden officials turn a blind eye toward these signals. We'll be interviewing the people involved. We're certainly looking at what potential legal avenues, recognizing the fact that government makes sure that it is protected. It is incredibly difficult to sue the government. It's incredibly difficult to sue a government employee, either charge him criminally or allow private action lawsuits against him. Government protects itself. because government is power, right? And as Lord Acton said, power corrupts, and government is a corrupt entity. I'm just trying to expose that.
And you're doing a great job of it. You are. I think you've had more impact than you ever could imagine. One last question, because I've kept you a long time, and I know I want you to get about the business of the Senate, because nobody else is. Well, Senator, we wish you the very best. I wish you good health. I pray. I shouldn't just say wish. I believe in praying. I pray for your good health, and you've got a great staff, by the way. You know, I did intersect with your investigators at one point on an issue, and they were just top-notch. You're right about that, and I'm just I just thank you for gathering a great team around you and having the courage to fight all of this stuff. One last aside, and this is a totally different tangent, but what in the world are we going to do about our broken Senate? You must be pulling your hair out of the fecklessness of what's not happening and all the things that are going undone. Just a word on that, if you would, as we say goodbye.
Well, the main reason it's broken is because we have Democrats serving in it. And the Democrats are not, you know, the party of our parents and grandparents. This is Democrat Party has been taken over by radical leftists. Their primary goal is to turn America into a one-party nation. They will do anything they can to achieve that power, to realize that goal, which is why they flooded millions of people unvetted in this country, put them into sanctuary cities and states, plus up the census, get more members of Congress. They do everything to frustrate any attempt at election security, election controls. If they get the chance where they have the presidency, the Senate, and the House, I am 110% convinced that they will end the filibuster, turn D.C., Puerto Rico into states, four more Democratic senators, pack the Supreme Court, nationalize the elections, automatic registration, mail-in balloting, turn America into a one-party nation. That's their goal. They need to be stopped. And so as much as every Republican would like to retain the filibuster when we're in the minority so we can stop Democrat far-left legislation, they're going to do it. And so I agree with President Trump. Now's the time to act, end the filibuster, pass the Save America Act, restore integrity to our elections, do things for the benefit of the American public. Time's running out. Trump's got less than 3 years in this administration. We've got to enact these things now, before America might vote for change, and then the change they get are people like President Obama, who, let's face it, right before his election, he said, we are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming this nation. Mm. And that's what he and his disciples and accolades have done. They have transformed, they are transformed this nation, and not for the better. So, yeah, I don't see how the Senate could be more broken. Shut down all government 42 days, shut down DHS. Democrats want to defund ICE and CBP, the very agency, the very department designed to keep us safe when, for example, we're at war with somebody who just might have sleeper cells in this country. Again, I can't explain why Democrats, the radical left, are pushing transgenderism, boys and girls. I mean, this is insane. 15 years ago, 15 years ago, Obama was saying, I'm not for, gay marriage, marriage between a man and a woman. Now look at where we're at. So Democrats lie. They'll never tell you exactly who they are. That's why the Senate is broken. And unfortunately, we just don't have enough Republicans who recognize that very sad reality. Democrats are at war with us. They want to eliminate us as a political opposition. And too many of my colleagues just don't recognize that reality, and they don't want to be responsible for ending the filibuster for when the Democrats are in power, and then they do their dirty deeds. So that's kind of the state of play right now. Stay tuned.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I would just say the only thing I would add is I guess I think of it not in political terms so much as I think that they hate this country and they want to destroy it. Think of Mandami. He's not concerned about parties. He wants control. He wants communism. And that's, I think, what so many of them actually do want, you call it single party, you know what it is. It's control of a huge government where you have no freedom. And we could say more, and maybe we can at some other point. But Senator Johnson, I appreciate so much your time. God bless you in every way.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to be on your show and appreciate your prayers. We feel those. We really do. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Preborn makes it possible for us to have these conversations. And you all, so many of you have been faithful donors, just amazing. You are amazing to me. I would say that, you know, Preborn advertises on almost all the major talk shows and podcasts. And our show performs as well as, from my understanding, most of those major podcasts. And you know why? It's because of you. It's because of you. There are fewer of you, but you give generously, and you really believe in saving babies. And so thank you for that. I'm deeply grateful. I'm deeply grateful. And so for just $28, which is the cost of a dinner right now, in most places where most normal people eat, you can sponsor an ultrasound or introduce a mom to her baby for the very first time. And 100% of your donation will go towards saving those babies. Just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
As the president noted yesterday,
that the White House wants to help the people of Cuba. In the briefing room Friday, Press Secretary Jen Psaki said the State Department is now heading their effort to reconnect Cubans to the Internet.
Returning Internet access to Cuba would certainly be something we'd love to be a part of.
This is the Biden administration works to combat misinformation and increase access to vaccines. The CDC reports coronavirus cases are up 70% over the last week.
The five states with the highest case rates, Arkansas, Florida, Louisiana, Missouri, and Nevada.
Four states account for 40% of new coronavirus cases, with one in five coming from Florida. Hospitalizations are up 36% as deaths rose from COVID by 26%. Nearly all were unvaccinated.
And so why it's so important for yourself, your family, and your community to get vaccinated.
This is becoming a pandemic of the unvaccinated.
Dr. Walensky says the recent uptick in cases is due to the contagious Delta variant, as health experts warn more variants could pop up soon. One more reason, President Biden says, to get the vaccine.
The only pandemic we have is among the unvaccinated.
All right, so the pandemic of the unvaccinated. Do you remember that? And that's when friends and family turned against us because, you know, we wouldn't get the vaccination. Moms were kept away from their... Well, moms kept their mothers away from their children, their families. You can't be around my baby. You haven't been vaccinated. You can't come here to see us unless you get a vaccination. The punishment began. The shunning began. How horrible. And ironically, the whole notion was turned on its head because we saw later that people that got the vaccination, the COVID vaccination, were catching COVID over and over and over again. Not so those that had had COVID. When they'd had it, they were one and done. That's why Senator Johnson was talking about immunity. So that was a lie. It wasn't a pandemic of the vaccinated. It was just a complete lie. You know, you noticed in that report, they mentioned that how the vaccinations were going up. I remember this at the time. Vaccinations are up in these states like Arkansas, Florida, Missouri. You know, they're all... Republican states, you notice that? They didn't. COVID wasn't up in New York or Pennsylvania. No. They didn't have any more. Or California. It was just Florida and Arkansas, Missouri. Isn't that, now that we know what liars they are, don't you see the lies there? Well, I just thought that conversation with Senator Johnson was amazing. And you can find his report, by the way, on his website. Just go to ronjohnson.senate.gov, and you can see a synopsis of the report, things that we weren't even able to get to, and I think you'll find it fascinating, if not sad. And one hopeful thing, I saw recently that Dr. McCullough and others have come up with a treatment of people that are still having all kinds of, for vaccine-injured persons. And they advertise it all the time on television. I wish I could tell you. I'm doing this off the top of my head, so I can't remember. But if you go to Peter McCullough, I'm sure you could find out. But if there is some sort of treatment that, from all accounts, is having quite a bit of success. So I would just encourage all of you that feel that you have some side effects from the vaccine that you took, that you might want to go to them and figure out what they can do to help you. It's a shame. It's just a terrible shame what they've done to their own people. But they've done it. And so now the reckoning begins. So and also the press, just don't be undaunted. Like, when do be undaunted. When your friends, you know, deny, when your doctor denies it and offers the vaccine or tells you you should have it, I think you can say with humility and kindness, I'm not taking that vaccine. That's what I've done with my doctors. I'm not taking. No, thank you. Not taking that vaccine. They don't need a lecture. They really already know. But just stand your ground, okay? All right, well, I want to thank you for listening, and I want to remind you that COVID, how many of you? I want to remind you that Preborn is our sponsor. We could not do this without them. And so if you go to preborn.com/Sandy during this Mother's Day week, you can give, you know, just the best donation that you're able to give. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. Well, thank you so much for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.